This is Fresh Air. Leah Delaria is proud to call herself a dyke. She titled her comedy album Bull Dyke in a China Shop. Delaria recently made a bit of TV history on the Arsenio Hall show when she became the first out-of-the-closet lesbian comic on late-night TV to do stand-up about being a lesbian. In her act, she said she knew what would happen when her mother heard her on TV.
And I know exactly what she's going to say. She's going to go, why do you have to say you're a homosexual on national TV like that? Why do you have to do that? Why do you have to say that? I mean, everyone heard you. The neighbors heard you. The priests heard you. Everyone heard you. I can't believe, and it's bad enough you have to say you're a homosexual, but why do you have to call yourself a dyke? That's such an ugly, mean, nasty word, that word dyke. It's a terrible, nasty, mean, ugly word, that word dyke. I just hate that word. It's a terrible, nasty, mean, awful, ugly, terrible, ugly. Oh, wouldn't you rather be a nice lesbian? Lesbian, okay? I wouldn't. I can't call myself lesbian. I can't use that word. I hate that word. It's such a technical, clinical word, isn't it? It sounds like someone you call to repair things in your home, doesn't it? It's like, honey, the refrigerator's on the fritz. Better get the lesbian. I can't do it. And I won't call myself a homosexual either. Ugh, because that would be gross. It would be gross. I think of that word homosexual much like I think of the word Negro. You know what I mean? It's like, let's go down to the river and sing some old homosexual spirituals. Somewhere.
So listen, was your mother really upset about you saying you were a dyke on national TV? And was she even more upset by saying that you said that she was upset?
I wonder. I called her and told her I was going to say that. But you know, I have to tell you, Terry, I was raised in an Italian Catholic family, okay, which makes it very difficult to be queer because Italians believe that, you know, not Italians, but Catholics believe that if you ignore something, it'll go away. It'll disappear, okay? So when I came out to my parents, you know, we did the whole, like, we did the screaming, the fighting, the yelling, the throwing things, you know, that Italians do, and then they just forgot about it, you know? So we would have to do it, like, every month, you know? It's like, I have to do it again and again and again and again. They keep bringing men home for me to, you know, strange men. They bring them into the house, you know, like, Leah, meet Bob. I'd be like, what is this? Remember that conversation we had last month? You throw a dinette through the window. You remember that? It's like, I am not interested in Bob, okay? So the whole dyke thing, we've been going through this for years, you know what I mean? And since I've been standing on stage for, what, 10, 11 years now, talking about being a lesbian, and a dyke is my word of choice, talking about that, my mom and dad have started to mellow into it a little bit more. I have to say that doing like The World According to Us for PBS last year, being on 2020 last year, but now definitely being on the Arsenio Hall show has made all the difference. You know what I mean? There's a certain sort of validation that you get from the media, and it helps your little old Italian straight parents get it a little better.
Mm-hmm. My daughter may be a dyke, but she's a dyke on national TV.
Thank you very much.
Do you think of yourself as having a comic persona on stage?
A comic persona on stage? Well, God, I would hope so. I mean, that's the whole idea of why I'm there.
Describe Leah on stage.
Yeah. Okay. Leah on stage is, if you meet Leah in person, do you remember when this was, I guess it was Oral Roberts a few years ago, said he had seen a 600-foot Jesus? Do you remember this? I remember this distinctly.
I don't.
He talked
Go
about
on.
He had a vision. He saw a 600-foot Jesus, okay, which I was wondered, how did he know it was Jesus? If it was 600 feet tall, he saw Jesus' big toe, okay? So who could have been? But he says he saw a 600-foot Jesus. That's what I'm like on stage. When you meet me in person, I'm a certain way. And then once I get on stage, I'm the 600-foot Jesus. I'm the 600-foot Leah. I'm just Leah exaggerated a million times.
Describe how you dress on stage.
How I dress on stage. I do a lot of different costume changes and things on stage. So when I'm just Leah, when Leah Delaria has been hired to come in and say do 15 minutes, I like to really play with gender. So what I'll usually do is I'll wear a really nice suit, you know, kind of a double-breasted man's suit, and then I'll wear like a black bra and lipstick and do my hair really nice. You know what I mean? So I play with gender. If I wear a dress, I like to wear army boots with it, like big old boots with it. Like sometimes, like I do a thing called Ms. Delaria's Dating Tips for Dykes, and in that I wear a pink taffeta ball gown and big Doc Martin boots, you know, because I like to play with gender and dress and what people look like.
to say, I think there are two completely different Leah Delarias.
I'm a Gemini.
Yeah.
Well, that's why.
As a comic, you have this loud, abrasive, raunchy, in-your-face style.
Uh-huh.
But in your performances, you also sing. And when you sing a ballad, there's a completely different side of you that comes across. Mm-hmm. Excuse all the S's here, but you're kind of sensitive and sultry, subtle. And to show what I mean here, I'm going to play a ballad, Why Don't You Do Right, from your album, Bull Dyke in a China Shop.
Go ahead.
Like some other men do. Get out of here and bring me some money too. You're sitting here, you're wondering why. You don't pay the rent, they're going to throw you out. Why don't you do right like some other men do? Get out of here and bring me some money too.
It's really nice.
I can't believe you made me listen to that.
Well, how do you reconcile these two extremes in your personality?
Well, I'm a Gemini. That's one thing. And, you know, it was very calculated when I incorporated music into what I did. The reason being, when I first walked out on stage in 1982 and started saying, you know, dyke, and started... I walked out on stage, I started talking about my menstrual period in 1982. That was not done by women comics. Now it's kind of passé 11 years later. But in 1982, I was, if not the first, one of the first women to ever talk about something like that. And it was scary for people. And then, of course, I was one of the first people to actually say the word dyke and talk about being queer on stage. Also scary for people. I mean, it was like extreme. It would somewhat put audiences off. My idea was, if I could go out, sing a really sweet jazz song, something that people are familiar with, because that's what I am, I'm a jazz singer. Sing something that people are familiar with that would put them at ease, then I could start going, dyke, woo, 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 you know, like that, and they would accept it a little better.
Did you ever try to make it as a singer before turning to comedy?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of settings?
Oh, I played in cabaret rooms and nightclubs and out in the open at women's music festivals and things like that.
Now, when you were doing cabarets and nightclubs, how did you dress?
This was before I actually came out. So in those times, I would wear a dress because that was the kind of dress code that I was forced to wear in those places.
Comic Leah Delaria is my guest. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Back with comic Leah Delaria. She has an album, by the way, called Bull Dyke in a China Shop. You talk about yourself as having Tourette's when it comes to telling people that you're out. No matter where you are, you're kind of screaming that you're out, always telling people who you are. So what was it like when you weren't out professionally, in those days when you were singing in a dress and nightclubs and you were not out?
Right. It was, you know, the thing is, I grew up in the Midwest, okay? I grew up in a little town that has been surrounded by an information-proof shield since about 1958, okay? And that's Belleville, Illinois. And so that's where I was doing this singing, right? Still kind of under in the home of my parents, in the Catholic town, the little, you know, there I am, like the littlest Bull Dyke. I knew I was gay, but I didn't tell anybody else that I was gay. So it was a really, there was a, like a huge sigh of relief, you know, that I let out when I made the decision that from now on, I'm gonna walk out on stage and I'm gonna be who I am. I was able to like look at the mirror, look at myself in the mirror every morning, brush my teeth, and like who I see. You know, it wasn't like I had to constantly worry about who was going to find out anymore, or that the owner would find out and that I would be out of a job. The owners know now the second I walk in, you know, and back then it was like when they hired me knowing that I was going to talk about being gay. So I didn't have to worry about losing my job anymore, you know.
Now, how did you start doing comedy?
I've always been funny. And even in school, you know, like I went to Catholic school, which is the best training ground for a comic that there is. You learn, my generation, you learned how to make that nun laugh, and then she wouldn't beat the heck out of you, you know what I mean? So I was really good at making that nun laugh. That hand would come my way, and I was like, and did you hear the one about, you know, at that sister? But so I had a lot of training growing up around that. My family is all really funny. My father's a cornball, and my mom is really kind of dry sense of humor. So I like to think that I have the perfect marriage of both their senses of humor, you know, kind of a cornball, wild, dry thing that happens. And people always said, try it. So back in, this is kind of a little bit of gay history, back in the early 80s in San Francisco, there was a club called the Valencia Rose, started doing gay comedy nights on Monday nights. I went there, and when it was very funny because it was gay comedy open mic, and there was like a mime, there was a folk singer, there was a poet, and I'm sitting in the audience going, there were no comics. And there were two comics. There was the MC's, a woman by the name of Carol Roberts, and a guy named Tom Amiano. Tom has continued through, and Carol doesn't do it anymore, but Tom has continued and become a very good comic. At that time, in the beginning, he was awful, and he'll be the first to admit it. He had no experience, and he was terrible. But now he's hilarious. And I thought, I watched both he and Carol, and I thought, I could do better than that. And I went home, and I put together 10 minutes of material. I put in some stuff that I had been working on about my period, and then totally queer stuff, and stuff about going to Catholic school, and walked up on stage the following week and killed. The audience loved me. The owner came up, and Tom came up, and Carol came up and said, are you going to come back next week? And I just started coming back every week, writing new material, doing things. And after a little bit, they asked me to MC. Carol left. They asked me to fill her spot, and I became the MC there. I worked there every two and a half years, every Monday and every other Saturday. And when you're performing steadily like that, for kind of a repeat audience, you write material, you hone your craft.
When you started at the gay club,
Valencia Rose,
yeah, and there were you know, mimes and folk singers, and you come out and you start doing your routine about menstruation and tampons and probably talking about sex a lot. Uh-huh. Were people offended at all by your, not only your material, but your kind of loud, you know, in-your-face style of performing?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, lesbians were used to, like, we're all women and we love one another, you know, and is life really grand? And I'm going, dah, 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 dah. Life isn't grand. Life sucks. And this is why, you know. And I tell them all the reasons. Because, you know, back then, I've changed quite a bit. I've been sober for about 3.5 years. And it's changed my comedy and the way I approach life and the way I approach comedy a little bit. But back then, I was the quintessential angry young woman, you know. I was 23 when I first walked out on stage, and I was really angry, and I was a punk. I had a bald head, and I had safety pins, and I was in their face. And these poor little lavender lesbians, they did not know what to do with me. So, yes, I offended them. It became, after I'd been at it for about 5 years, you know, there was a distinct line that was drawn. You know, I always like to think of the world as drawn into two camps, people who are pro-Sinatra and people who are anti-Sinatra, you know. So in the lesbian community, it was drawn into two camps. It was people who were pro-Leah and people who were anti-Leah for a really long time. They always, like, called me the bad girl of lesbian comedy. And that was kind of my thing. I was the one who was going to go out there with the foul mouth and just not care. And no sacred cow person. There are no sacred cows. And I would go out and tell them that. You know, so they were women that were really, really freaked by me. What I see has happened is, in some ways, I've meld with age. Of my anger, I've really, really started to look at the world through more of a sense of humor. And
less
that's
anger?
One thing. And less anger. And what's happened is the community has gotten a lot angrier. So we've met somewhere in the middle, You know what I mean? With ACT UP and Queer Nation, if you can imagine, that's going down my anger some a little bit from where it was. With ACT UP and Queer Nation and my mellowing out a little bit, the community and has kind of caught up with my anger a little bit. My anger is backed up to be where theirs is. And now we're kind of all in the same place. There's still a lot of people that I offend. There are a lot of people that do not want me to use the F word. You know, they get really uptight when I use the F word. My stance on that is I'm a woman, and women are not supposed to say that word. We are supposed to look like perfect little ladies, and we're not supposed to scream, and we're not supposed to holler, and we're not supposed to sweat. So when I go out on stage and I'm screaming and I'm hollering and I'm sweating and I'm using that word, I am challenging what society says women are supposed to behave like. So that's why I do it.
Leah Delaria, her recording of comedy and music, Bull Dyke in a China Shop, is on Lady Slipper. She plans a return visit to the Arsenio Hall show May 17th. Also in the works is an off-Broadway show. This is Fresh Air.